Now I'd like next to say a word about something that was happening in the field of psychology at exactly this time. Joyce's Portrait of the Artist was published in 1916, but it had been around for a long time looking for a publisher. If you are discouraged about getting anything that you have written published, think of Joyce. He wrote Stephen Hero, the first draft of this, in 1901 to 1903, and the book was published in 1916. At about this same time, Carl Jung in Zurich had been working on schizophrenic patients in the Berghölzli Sanitarium in Zurich. He found these people living in a mythological world. And during the course of his brief relationship to Freud, which followed his gaining of his doctor's degree and everything else, he gained a great insight from Freud into what he called the mechanism of repression, what causes people to repress memories. But he did not gain from Freud the kind of insight into the sources of mythological forms that he was gaining from his patients in the Berghölzli Sanitarium. And the book that he wrote in 1911 and 12, which separated him from Freud, or rather separated Freud from him, because Freud would not allow anybody to have a thought that differed from his own, was a work called Wandlungen und Symbole der Libido, Transformations of the Libido, which was based on the recognition of mythological motifs, not recollected themes, but mythological motifs in the imagery of a seriously ill patient whom Jung had never met. He had simply read an account of her case in a psychological journal. It was after working on this and finding the whole world of mythology expanding, and he reading ravenously the works that had been already published on mythology, that this thought came to him. What it means to live by and with a myth, and what it means to live without one. And he asked himself on this occasion by what myth he was living, and he found he did not know. And so he proposed it to himself as his task of tasks, that he should find by what myth he was living. He found a very interesting way to start the exploration. He thought, what was it I loved to do as a kid that really captured me and that I would spend hours at and nobody would have to take care of me at all? I'd be a perfectly quiet, good little boy off in some corner doing something. And he recalled that what it was making little cities out of stones, building things with stones, little stones. Well, I say I'm a big boy now, so I'll buy myself a piece of property and build a big thing out of stone. And he bought a piece of property up the other end of the Zurich Lake and built himself a little stone castle there. But while this was going on, he found that his imagination was activated. Not only recollections, but a whole new spontaneity of the imagination. And he began recording what was coming to him, drawing pictures that came along, associating with this. And then it was that he recognized some of these duplicated motifs in the myths of the world. And he came to this realization that there are two levels of the imagination. One which he called that of little dreams. Dreams that have to do with your personal case, your personal problems right now. You're going to take an exam and you have an anxiety dream or something like that. Or your parents have been kind of mean to you and you have that whole Oedipal relationship to them and so forth and so on. But every now and then you will face the great mysteries that mankind has been facing. The mystery of death when it eats into you. The mystery of the magnitude of the cosmos and your own place in it and all. And the imagery that will be coming up then will be imagery that will be matched in the mythologies of the world. And he found then the big dream, in contrast to the little dream, is using not essentially biographical material, but material that comes from your biology and your place in the world of nature. These two levels of the unconscious, which he called the personal and collective or transpersonal or general unconscious, which we share with all mankind insofar as we share human bodies, and we share even with the dogs and cats insofar as our body is an animal body. There are two levels to this. One is the level of what we really do share with the dogs and cats, the impulses that animals have to sleep, to reproduction, to aggression and winning through. But then there comes also the awakening of the realization of wonder and the asking of questions that go past the vision of the eye into the vision of the third eye, the mystery world of existence. When these begin to grab you, a whole new birth takes place. This is the birth in mythology, you might say.